Hello everyone, I'm Alan Condon with Becker Spine Review. Thank you for tuning in to the Becker's Healthcare Podcast Series. Today I'm pleased to be joined by Jeffrey Dunn, President, CEO and Chairman of SIBON. Jeffrey has over 30 years of executive experience, including serving as the CEO of six companies prior to founding and serving as the CEO, President and Chairman of SIBON. His medical device experience includes sacroiliac surgery, ankle replacement and small bone extremity fusion. Mr. Dunn is taking two companies public, both of which he founded, sold all the others to larger public companies, started numerous other companies, and served on several boards of directors and has been an advisor to other CEOs. Prior to SIBON, Mr. Dunn was CEO of InBone Technologies, which he built into a leading ankle replacement and small bone fusion medical device company. Mr. Dunn also led the sale of InBone to Wright Medical in April 2008 for a five-time return, as well as spinning off specific assets to found SIBON. Jeffrey, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Delighted to be here, Alan.
Fantastic. We're delighted to have you on the podcast. And with that, let's kick things off and jump into the first topic in our conversation today. Jeff, could we start by you giving us a brief background on you and SIBON?
Be happy to. So about 12 years ago, Dr. Mark Riley and I focused on developing a solution for the hundreds of thousands of patients suffering from sacroiliac joint pain. At the time, there were so many patients that were suffering because there was no solution. In fact, it was clearly a misunderstood problem. It was underserved and misdiagnosed. And as the audience might know, the SI joints are the largest joints that we have in our bodies. When we started, we developed a solution Riley, he was the inventor of many, many breakthrough technologies, including kyphoplasty, and he's been my partner in the last few companies. Back in 2009, we worked with another doctor, Dr. Len Rudolph, who's up near Dartmouth in New Hampshire, and we performed the first minimally invasive SI joint fusion surgeries using a product called iFuse, which is a mainstay of our business. And we pioneered this entire area. It's interesting because when you talk to physicians out there, most had never been taught anything about the SI joint in medical school because there was really no solution before we came onto the scene. And what we do is we treat the degeneration or the disruption of the SI joint. As Alan said, from a background standpoint, I've been CEO many times, so it's actually been 26 years in the seat of a CEO across lots of different companies. So prior to SIBON coming on the scene, no company had really figured out how to reliably diagnose the SI joint or actually commercialize a product. The SI joint was about 30% of all lower back pain. And all of us know someone with back pain, and can you imagine that you have 30% of all people who actually were misdiagnosed or completely undertreated. It's a huge problem, and there are tens of thousands of patients out there. So far as a company, we've treated close to 50,000 patients since we started the company.
Well, thank you so much, Jeff, for giving us a brief background there on yourself and obviously SIBON. In your opinion, what makes SIBON an interesting or special company?
Yeah, it really starts with our people. We have about 260 just phenomenal people who are on this mission together to help all these patients and support these surgeons to help these patients. As I mentioned, we pioneered this whole area into the sacropelvic region of the body, and the revenue opportunity is enormous at about $3 billion a year. We have about 53% market share. We had about 53% market share in 2018, and we improved that market share to 58% in 2019. Even though we have about 25 competitors, according to Spine Market Research. We have a very unique product that's patented. It's a triangular implant that prevents micromotion and rotation, and it's backed up by 80 peer-reviewed studies. these patients are just highly debilitated. They may have been in a wheelchair for years, can't sit at the dinner table for 10 minutes, can't ride in the car, they can't sit down at the office, and they're quite depressed sometimes. And with our surgery, which is typically done at about 45 minutes, it's really just unbelievably gratifying for us and our team to go out there and help these people. The other thing that's quite unusual about our company is that we have about 300 million covered lives after working with all the payers in the United States. And in fact, in the United States, there are 35 payers that only cover iFuse because of the strength of the clinical evidence. Overseas, the French government exclusively covers iFuse for SI joint fusion. The NICE organization, which is perhaps the most respected clinical evaluation and economic evaluation organization in medical, only recommends the use of iFuse in the UK healthcare system. So lots of different things about the company make it special.
Hey, thank you so much, Jeff, for sharing your insight there, and certainly a lot to expand on. I know your company, SI-BONE, grew sequentially over the last 18 months. Can you tell us a little bit about how that growth was achieved?
Sure. We grew 13% in Q4 2018, and that was our first quarter as a public company. Then we grew at 18%, then at 19%, then at 21%, then at 27%. And in Q1, we would have grown at about 30% if not for COVID. We took the company public back in 2018. And with that money, we did a bunch of different things that we beforehand, before that, couldn't afford to do. So we expanded the field sales force dramatically to support surgeons. We increased the number of treating surgeons such that today there are over 2,000 surgeons that have been trained to diagnose and use iFuse and have in fact implanted iFuse. We've just got a tremendous surgeon faculty group that we brought on that helps us educate all the other surgeons in the United States. And as I mentioned earlier, most surgeons have not been taught much about the SI Joint Medical School. There's about 7,500 orthopedic and neurospine surgeons, and there's obviously lots more in Europe. So we've got a long way to go to complete that training. We've also grown the business by winning with the payers, as I mentioned, most recently with Aetna, which decided to cover the procedure just a few months ago. And all that, as I mentioned, is based on the strength of these 80 peer-reviewed clinical studies. We've also expanded the indications for use for the product. We started off just in SI joint fusion, which, as I mentioned, is a multi-billion-dollar market, but we've also moved into the adult deformity space with a product called Bedrock, which is used to stabilize the base of a long construct. And we've also moved into the trauma space. Now, in the trauma space, screws have traditionally been the product of choice. And we look at it and say, over the last 50 years, there's really not been a great deal of innovation. So in all three spaces that we're in, whether it's SI joint fusion or adult deformity or trauma, we think there's an opportunity to continue to invent and deliver better solutions. And we're now in with, as an example, from an expansion standpoint, with our adult deformity product, Bedrock, we're now in 20 major academic centers in the United States, including the University of Minnesota, Duke, Rush, the Mayo Clinic, Scripps, USC, as well as Barrow Neurological Institute and Texas Back. We're continuing to increase the number of institutions that are using the product to help these patients. A final factor in helping us grow the business in January of this year, 2020, after working with CMS or Medicare over the last few years, they decided to increase the surgeon payment by 27%, which is really an appropriate move after they looked at all the data. And the surgeons are excited about that. So whether it's the product or whether it's the coverage or whether it's the payment, we really try to do our best every day as a team to help the surgeons with these particular patients and try to make it as easy as possible for them to do what they do best, and that's get these patients out of pain.
Great, fantastic to hear. And in terms of sacroiliac fusion, are surgeons performing more of these procedures in ASCs now, and is this trend being accelerated by the COVID-19 pandemic?
For sure. About 80% of our procedures can and are done on an outpatient or at ASCs. And they're continuing to move in that direction. I think if the patient isn't that ill with comorbidities, the surgery typically can be done on an outpatient or in an ASC. Of course, that's completely up to the surgeon, and they decide on a site of service. But we do see in the future more of the patients being treated at these surgery centers.
Mm-hmm. And I know you touched on it a little bit previously, but looking ahead into the future, what is SI Bone planning to support surgeons and help more patients?
Well, our goal is really to become the go-to company for all sacropelvic solutions. And in that vein, we're adding two major product lines, which we'll introduce over the next 12 or so months. And these two product lines, even though I believe that we have by far the strongest product offerings, and obviously with 58% market share, someone else believes that. But we're adding these two major product lines that will help us and provide enhanced solutions in the SI joint fusion space, as well as the adult deformity space, as well as the trauma space. So with those new products, with the current products, and with enabling technologies that we put in place, like navigation sets and decortication capability, and future enabling technologies, we feel very good about providing a complete set of solutions that surgeons can use for these patients and have a very robust future.
Great. Well, thank you so much for filling us in the expansion plans and everything that you guys have got going on in the future. Well, Jeff, I'm wondering if you could take me back to mid-March. I'm curious to hear what happened when COVID-19 hit and how did the company react?
Yeah. Well, we have this saying that we eat problems for breakfast. And so we welcome problems, not that we welcome COVID, but when it came, we went to work right away. And we just have an incredible group of people. We instantly set up a home program on March 11th. We focused on everyone's health and safety, but we also cut discretionary spending across the entire organization, because the goal was to keep our 260 employees in place and support them, support their families for the long haul, so that we could support the surgeons and patients. We didn't really miss a beat with our new product development. The team moved their computers home and continued beautifully with the product development. On the clinical side, we had to pause in March and April, but we're now up and running with our clinical studies. We also immediately went to work in launching virtual education webinar series, and we did one led by Dr. David Pauly from the University of Minnesota, and there were over 100 surgeons on the call. I had actually heard from some friends that, you know, some companies were not engaging the surgeons when COVID came, and we took the absolute opposite tact. We said, this this is a great opportunity. The surgeons are home. Let's work on the education. Let's work with these surgeons and do the best we can to train them. So we also launched a telehealth program and taught a lot of people how to potentially do that kind of thing. And we also, fortunately, had been working for the last few years on a radiation-free training system, because obviously surgeons and all of us who are non-surgeons, not everyone is excited about traveling these days or can't travel. So we had fortuitously started building this local training system, which is completely radiation-free, so a surgeon could be trained in their office or in the conference room at the hospital instead of, you know, flying from Detroit to Chicago to do a cadaver lab. And we have just begun rolling that out. We're very excited about this virtual training system. We think it'll make it much easier for the surgeons to be trained, but also very effective, because it allows them to use the instruments. It allows them to work on a male model, female model, a dysmorphic sacrum, so it's very flexible, and as I said, with no radiation, and can be done right there effectively.
And what a time to roll out that radiation-free training system. Really interesting. Really looking forward to follow the development of that technology. And finally, to wrap up, Jeff, how are things going at SI Bone now?
Actually, Alan, quite well. You know, obviously COVID has been very challenging for everyone. We just reported our Q2 results to Wall Street. And when COVID hit, sort of mid-March, we took a hit. And in April, our business was down 85%. But it bounced right back. And in May, we grew at 16% in worldwide revenue, and then really got things back on track in June and grew at a 42% rate over the same period in 2019. So it's tough with the COVID headwinds still, but these amazing surgeons who we have the privilege of supporting have gone back to work. And our team is doing a remarkable job supporting them. And as we look forward, we've got, we think, terrific product plans and other plans from a marketing standpoint for the next 5 years. And so we are very focused on the future and helping all these patients. And in closing, Alan, I guess I'd say just good health to everyone and to you, and hope everyone stays healthy and we get COVID behind us in the not too distant future.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Jeff, and the very best to yourself and all of your team and crew at SI Bone too. Jeff, again, thank you so much for your time and insight today. We also want to thank our podcast sponsor, SI Bone. You can tune into more podcasts from Becker's Healthcare by visiting our podcast page at beckershospitalreview.com.